Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. That's a little bit of music from Peter Mwanga and the Amaravi Movement. He performs at the Matthews Opera House this Thursday. He's a voice for the voiceless, and he joins us now from Spearfish to talk about his music and his mission. Peter Mwanga, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, and let's talk about Malawi first, because this is music that is very much part of your home country, and I think a lot of us don't have much experience with it. So take me to Malawi and explain what it's like to live there.
Malawi is situated in the northern part of South Africa, very close to Mozambique, and it's a small, tiny landlocked country, which is really famous in Africa for its Lake Malawi, which is like the third largest lake in the world, I think. And Malawi is called the warm heart of Africa because it's one of those countries which has never experienced ethnic wars. So it's a very peaceful country. And Malawi is very rich in its cultural heritage. It's got very different people in Malawi come from different backgrounds, so rich in culture, people with very different cultures all living together in one country, which is why it's called the warm heart of Africa.
I love it. So talk to me about growing up with the music there. Is it music from all different cultures too, or is there a distinctly Malawian music?
You see, because Malawi is a landlocked country, there's a lot of influences from countries that surround Malawi, you know, and also recently and currently, I would say, because Malawi is also one of those poorest countries in Africa as well as the world. It has a lot of, 80% of its GDP depends on donor-funded aid from countries like the United States, from Europe. So we also get influences, musical influences from these countries as well, because the people that come to Africa to work as expatriates, mm-hmm. and they live there, they introduce music. But Malawi as a country is divided in three. So the way it is, there's a northern region where you find people that speak a language called the Tumbuka, and then the central region where I'm from, which makes up the big chunk of Malawi, we speak a language called Chichewa, which is like the common language in the country. And then there's the southern part where people speak Yao. And Yao is comprised of mostly people that are Islamic, that speak the Yao, and people that live, that have inherited the Arabic way of dressing. Mm-hmm. What connects these three cultures is the lake, because all these people somehow they find themselves along the lake because it's the source of income for the country, and so their culture end up getting intertwined, and you find that some Yao influences of dance or rhythm have a bit of connection with some of the dances that we have in the central region. Same applies with the northern region. And recently I was conducting a research that I was doing along the lake, and I discovered that the music is connected, the dances are connected, the rhythm are connected. And out of that, I formed a genre that we called Nyanja music, which is what I'm going to be introducing to Spearfish on Thursday.
Does it have particular instruments that are involved in it, or lyrics in a specific language? Tell me more about that music itself.
Let's start with the instruments.
Yeah.
In the central region, we have what you call a bass drum here. In the central region, we call it a bacha. When you go down to the southern part of Malawi, they call it a different name, but it looks pretty much the same. It might just slightly change in size, but it's the same shape, and it's called a gunda, you know. And as it goes to the northern part, they also have a different name. But at the end of the day, it's used for the same purpose. The gunda, the bacha, is a big drum that is usually played in the, say, in the villages. When people want to invite, say, they brew beer, and they're inviting people to come for a late afternoon drink, they'll beat that drum. So it has a very bassy drum and very strong drum sound. And so when they beat it, it's an invitation for all the people in the village to say, now you can come and relax and have a drink. And so people head that to the direction of the sound where they go and party. And so it's commonly used for the same thing, but it has a different name. Mm-hmm. And so we have something like that in our band. We've also brought it with us, the bacha. And then we've got other drums as well. I don't know if you've heard of a talking drum, mm-hmm. like in Senegal, in mostly in a lot of West African countries, they use the talking drum. In my country, we have a talking drum as well, which has different names as you go around these regions, the three regions that I've mentioned. But in my region, it's called the Perekete, and some people call it the Mbalule. And I have also brought the Mbalule with me, which is our talking drum. Actually, they also vary in sizes, and it depends on the story that you want them to express, so to put. So
Peter, I'm going to just jump in real quick for our listeners. We're talking with Peter Mwanga, and we're only going to be able to scratch the surface with him here, but you can see him 7:30 on Thursday on stage at the Matthews Opera House. And then there's a jam session with the local musicians scheduled for Tuesday, April 18th. Oh, that's tonight. Okay. So, Peter, we're going to have just about a minute left here, and I just wanted to make sure we talked a little bit about being a voice for a voiceless voiceless people and what that means to you, you know, the importance of your lyrics is, you know, to do good in the world. Let's just close with that. We got about a minute.
Okay. So I think the term voice for the voiceless, I think, came from the type of my focus on the music itself, the lyrical content in my music. Mostly my music, I like to write on behalf of people that that don't have a chance or don't have a platform to speak out. I'll give you a good example. Say if you find a child in the street whose life depends on begging for his or her survival. That's all they do. And they may have needs, they may have rights, but those rights cannot prevail because they don't have a voice. And I like to write songs on behalf of those people. And that's mostly where you find, that's where I dwell. That's what I usually write about. So I think that's where the term voice for the voiceless came from.
Peter, thank you so much. Matthews Opera House, welcome to South Dakota. Enjoy your time here and have a good time with the music. Thanks, Peter.
Thank you very much.